Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the PPC show / Grow with Cora. JD and I have been getting questions over the months, over the years, I don't know, about Cora, about AdStage, about marketing, about reporting, and we thought it would be fun to do an episode where we just go through some of the questions about Cora and some of the questions about paid marketing reporting and just kind of talk them through, give you the wisdom we've accumulated over the years, our combined, you know, 76, 78 years on this planet. So we're just going to take some of the questions and answer them. How's that sound to you, JD?
I'm in. Let's do it.
Nice. Well, and before we go too deep into either one, I'll start with some really basic questions. So if you don't know Cora at all, well, probably pause, go to Cora.com and like look around. But if you don't know Cora Ads at all, what's like your elevator pitch for what they are?
For what they are? Yeah, so Cora, first of all, like let's start with there. So I think that's one thing that a lot of people are trying to understand and wrap their head around. Well, you know, Cora, the leading knowledge sharing platform in the world right now. And we really have a mission to share and grow the world's knowledge. So people are coming here to better understand the world around them, but also share their knowledge with the world. So that is Cora. What this means for you as the advertiser is a fantastic opportunity, right? So the opportunity to actually be contextually relevant, right? So being on Cora is it's a premium environment. It's a place where people are going to understand the world around them. And now you get to position and either A, answer the question, but also place your ad on those types of questions or those topics or those types of users. And the biggest thing I think too is also influence is greater than reach. Guys, like scale is overrated. It's all about reaching the right audience at the right time with the right message on the right platform, Cora. So you can able to target your audience and reach them at key moments in the buyer's journey. And that's what we're hopefully going to be talking about with some of these questions. Then also how you can integrate some of this within AdStage.
Very nice. Don't become a car salesman. No offense. No offense. But okay, so ads on Cora. People ask questions, they get answers. You can bring your brand into that conversation in a very meaningful way. So if I'm going to set up my first ad on Cora, what's the campaign structure look like? Is it campaign ad groups ads?
Yeah, so again, very similar to the Facebook or the Googles of the world, you're going to have a campaign structure that's set up very similar. So you're going to have campaign, you're going to have ad sets, and then you're going to have ads underneath that. The caveat there is it's going to feel and look more familiar to Facebook. So you're going to have your budgets and your scheduling all and your targeting, it's like campaign objectives all on the campaign level. At the ad set is where you're going to define your target audience. That's where you're going to put in your bid. And then you're going to have your ads underneath that. Recommended, I would say at least 2 to 3 ads. Don't come in there and put in one ad. The only thing you're going to learn is that one ad either worked or didn't work. Get a couple ads in there.
Well, so two. So you're not really raising the bar much. You just have to do 2 ads.
Well, it's a good question. So it's a VCG auction, right? So again, just like on...
A what? Is that an acronym?
VCG, yeah.
VCG.
Okay. VCG. So it's not a second priced auction like Google, right? So our auction is like Facebook's. And what it's trying to do is ultimately find the best ad to the best audience, and then there's an algorithms and everything that go into that. But what ends up happening is we are going to pick a winner, right? So we're going to pick an ad that is ultimately going to get the majority of the servings, if you will, the majority of the impressions. And so if you want to do some testing on your ads, I would do 2. A/B test, figure it out. If you're looking for something that you can kind of set up and forget for a couple of weeks, I would do 4. The more there, eventually, more than 4, probably 5 and 6 won't get a whole lot of distribution.
What is VCG, an acronym?
Yeah, it stands for the people that invented the actual. So doing a quick Google search, it's Vickery Clark Groves.
Thanks, it's folks.
Sealed bid auction of multiple items. But anyway, nice. It is an auction that us and Facebook do LinkedIn doesn't do it. Google doesn't do it. It is definitely, yeah. And so anyway, if you're familiar with Facebook ads, you'll understand that.
It's the same auction. Nice. Okay. Last question before I make you ask me questions. So if you run a test campaign, you run some ads, what's a good way to like structure a test? What are you testing for? What type of metrics? How do you communicate whether Quora worked or not? It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. It's one that we get quite a bit, right? People are coming in and really trying to diversify their ad budgets, trying to find another ad platform, another network that can help be a part of their evergreen strategy. And so a couple of things that we recommend is I would definitely start with the lowest hanging fruit. So get your remarketing going, right? So install the Quora Pixel. This will allow you to create website audiences. It will also allow you to do conversion optimized campaigns. So with that one, we recommend 20 to 25 conversions per week per ad set. So make sure you have enough. So you probably won't be able to start with conversion optimized campaigns. You know, you're gonna have to wait to get enough conversion data. But set up the pixel, upload your email list, right? Depending on you know what you're uploading, it's roughly about a 20 to 40% match rate. So a little less, but than the other networks, and that's because we are a smaller network, and most people are using their personal emails, so that's also a good thing. And then start targeting off of those, create lookalike audiences off of those audiences is a great way to then scale from there. But then if you're really looking to just kind of being contextually relevant, highly recommend keyword targeting and topic targeting as a really good place to start. So I would start with website retargeting, maybe some email retargeting, and then I would look to broaden that audience with doing some keyword targeting and some topic targeting to start with. And then once you're going from there, maybe do some interest targeting, but I would leave the behavioral targeting until you're looking to scale. So I would start with my audience that I know, the contextually relevant audience, and then move up to the interest-based audience.
Got you. And so you said 25 conversions a week?
That's correct.
And so there was a few questions about your pixel, so maybe I'll keep firing them at you just for some quick answers. What's the look back for attribution, and is it view through, click through, or both?
We have a view through, click through. So our, what is it? Just like what we start with is like what we have. It's a 1-day view through, 28-day click through. So that is our general settings. That said, what's coming down the pipeline, Paul, in beta right now? Custom attribution windows. All right. Whoa. So you'll be able to go in and create some custom attribution windows within your view through and your click through rate up to 90 days on that click through. So if you're looking for like a full quarter, you B2B type of long windows, you know, long sales cycles, you'll be able to create a 90-day look back, which also is good for Quora. So because we really are really that middle of the funnel, upper funnel, we're really about generating demand, not necessarily capturing demand. And so I think that's ultimately how I'd also look to measure my campaign success, going back to your earlier question.
Well, and you say that a lot too, and I'm curious, the measuring demand, generating demand versus bottom funnel. I guess intuitively, I think, of course, like more bottom of the funnel, but you always talk about mid funnel and top of funnel. So do you, like, why is that? Why is it more top funnel than bottom? Or like, is it the way people use it? I don't know. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a couple of things. I think it's how people are coming into Quora is one part of it. And each question actually has intent behind it. And so not every question is bottom funnel intent. So we can capture those, and we have a lot of advertisers seeing great success getting that capturing intent rather than generating. The thing is, it's gonna be really tough to scale that. There's only so many people coming in with bottom funnel. Most people are coming in doing research and evaluation. They're really in that consideration mode. And so you're really influencing a future decision, which is really generating that demand versus just capturing it.
Yeah, I guess when I think of the questions I see on Quora, because, you know, we AdStage ran some Quora campaigns, and also, you know, we've, you know, moderated some questions, not moderated, contributed to some questions even before we ran ads, because, you know, there is a conversation about paid marketing, reporting, marketing automation, analytics, you know, data, API, paid, all the things that we're right in the middle of. It's like already happening. And I guess a lot of those people, I mean, first you just have conversations about, you know, data visualization for paid marketers. That has nothing to do with someone looking for a tool. Maybe they're already using Data Studio or Domo and they're happy. So I guess those folks are very top funnel because maybe they don't even know our brand. So that really is working on awareness of ad stage in that space. Then you get to the folks who ask the old, like, who do you use for blank? And they're doing kind of the evaluations. And I guess they might not know our brand either. So that could be just awareness, but definitely at least people are in the consideration phase. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Cause I guess if they're like, I'm going to use AdStage for my, you know, agency reporting, they're just going to go to Google and type in like AdStage reporting.
So. Correct.
Cool. Yeah. And then look backs. So it sounds like, can you pick, is it going to be like 1, 7, 14, 30, 60, 90, something like that?
You can put in the day. So you can do custom. You can do 22. Oh. You can do a weird day if you want to. looked at that as some potential options, you know, with the 1, 7, 14, and ultimately decided that we don't need to. You can just put in the day and it's up to you.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And then if you're not super familiar with attribution, view through, click through, the really quick explanation is view through conversions measure if people saw your ad, say, on the Quora page. They didn't click on it, but they saw it, and Quora knows that that impression was served to that person. Later on, they go to your website and convert. Well, Quora knows they're on your website, and they know they were on Quora, and they saw your ad, so that's a view-through conversion. Obviously, if you're using conversion tracking systems, if you get one conversion, you'll see a lot of networks say, hey, we got a view-through conversion, because people don't just go to one place. They'll go to Google and Facebook and LinkedIn and Quora and websites and ask their friends and check their email. So you get one conversion in real life, and that has usually like 10 view-through conversions if you're advertising a lot of places. And then, of course, you have click-through conversions, which are when someone actually clicks on the ad. Same thing will happen. I mean, people will click on a Facebook post. They'll click on a Google ad. They'll go to Quora and click on a sponsored answer. Is that what they're called?
Promoted answer, yeah.
Promoted answer. So you still might end up with one conversion with three folks saying, it was us, and then it's up to you to use all your attribution magic to figure it out. But that's my quick sidebar on attribution.
It's a tough one. So I'm going to push it right back on to you. So like what should we do as advertisers when you're trying to do this type of reporting, right? I mean, I know within AdStage, are you guys helping out with attribution? And how do you guys think through those like down funnel metrics?
Yeah, the very good segue, JD. Very good segue. Well, I guess there's a few things. In attribution specifically, like as marketers ourselves, I mean, we market AdStage and spend a pretty penny on paid. We use Google Analytics and Salesforce. And Google Analytics, we make sure we have a goal set up at top, middle, and bottom funnel. So we want to know if you made it to our website and you like started the onboarding process to try our product. We want to know if you completed the onboarding process and you've actually linked an ad account. And we want to know if you've requested a demo or more information. So those are the three metrics we track as conversions on our website. And then in Salesforce, you know, once you're kind of in the sales pipeline, we can track and see, you know, did we engage with you? Are you qualified? Do you have spend? Do you actually need a reporting tool or automation tool? And then, so part of our reporting is actually looking at all those systems separately, because it really, you do want to make sure as a paid marketer, even if you're like living in Facebook and Quora and other social and search networks, you want to make sure you understand the conversion side of the world, even if it's not fully attributed. So you should be able to get in Google Analytics and make sure you understand what's happening on the website, what a flow looks like. Don't just rely on the website folks or SEO team to tell you how many conversions you got. Get in GA, make sure you know it. And then same thing with Salesforce. You should get a Salesforce report from your team every day that shows you all the leads, anything that moved into SQL, anything that's, you know, has a contract out or has closed one. Like, so my advice is, hey, get in the weeds with your conversion systems first. Because you shouldn't try to automate anything until you're like, I understand the flow and the customer journey and the funnel. Two is automate that reporting if you can. So once you understand it, it's in your brain, then try to automate it so you can go to one place to look at it all. And that's obviously why we built all these integrations into AdStage. And again, we run our own marketing. I'm kind of a fake member of the marketing team where I hop in, run some campaigns every now and then, because if we're building an integration with Quora, I need to, you know, pull the levers for a little bit to make sure I know what I'm doing. And also, I want to see how our marketing team is doing. So make sure you build, like for our own reports, we have a section for paid, we have a section for Google Analytics, and we have a section for Salesforce, and we understand how each one's doing in isolation. Everybody's clear on that. So then the next step is, okay, can use UTMs and attribution tools to then figure out how you want to attribute those conversions and then map them back to the paid campaigns they came from. And that's a longer conversation, so I'll just kind of leave it at that. But we, in our own reporting, we have like those three sections, like paid networks, here's what's happening. We generally start with like an aggregate view. Then we break it down by like certain networks that we want to measure certain things for. Then we look at our conversion side, GA, Salesforce, internal systems, if you have like other data. And then we blend it all together for kind of the consolidated view of how everything relates to each other. But I think you need all perspectives. That's a long answer.
No, I like it. We got some more questions. I'm going to put you on the hot seat now. Or as Kara Swisher would say, one of our favorite, you're in the red seat.
I'll also say interesting a lot. Kara Swisher says interesting like 8,000 times per episode, I've noticed. Everything is interesting. So if I don't want to answer something, I'll just say, it's really interesting.
Well, so back in my agency life, you know, we had to do a lot of reporting. You know, there were some clients that wanted weekly reports, of course, monthly reports. I just wanted to know, like, do you have any tips for us? Like speeding up the process for reporting, but also like organizing those monthly reports. I know there were times where I would build like a 25-page report, and guess what? No one looked at it. So yeah. How do you think through monthly reports?
Yeah, so one of the biggest problems I've heard, I mean, not just at AdStage, I've worked in marketing tech for like, I don't know, really, really long time, over a decade, three different companies, and no one reads reports. Like, I remember the first company I was at, we built some login thing for our customers. And then after, you know, we spent all this time and money building it, and then we found out that 4% of our customers logged in to view their reports. 96% never even logged in. And God forbid you asked them to do that, they'd be like, yeah, can you send the username and password? Because I basically never set it up. So if you don't send out reports that have value, people aren't going to read them. So the question is, how do you make sure your reports have value to the folks that are getting them? So if you have a client that's like, hey, I want a list of every ad we're running with the spend every month, and we just need it, then you have to set that up. So automate that with one of the reporting tools out there. So if your client demands a list of every campaign every month, you spend zero time doing that. They just get that, and you don't even have to talk about it, and they can check the box. Then build them some reports that are actually useful. And I would approach it like you're building it for yourself. So there's a few things I think are really important on a good report. Number one, you need to frame the story you're trying to tell. So if you just send something that shows metrics going up or down every week, and then when there's a good week, people will be like, you're doing great. When there's a bad week, they'll be like, this agency stinks. You're not doing yourself a service with reporting. First of all, frame it over the long term. So, of course, week-to-week changes are only important if you understand a longer-term trend. I tend to have, like, really long look-backs, moderate look-backs, and then just, like, this week versus last week. Because, again, as a business owner, I need to see all those things to understand if the outcome is expected. If it's a holiday weekend, I'm going to expect the numbers are going to be down. I don't want to just get a report that says, oh, everything's negative 25%. So I want to see a nice trend, maybe even if you have the data, quarter over quarter from last year, because maybe your holiday season is always really slow or always really busy. So one is make sure you frame it with timelines. Number two is frame the funnel as well. So for the metrics, I like to kind of have a key metric for every part of the funnel I want to communicate, but keep it simple. Don't pick like 50 metrics. Just what's your top level, mid funnel, and bottom funnel metric you're going to report on, and then use that same concept of like, here's the trend over time from really wide to maybe just this week versus last week. And then here's the specific metrics and how we did. And then I always put a little, in AdStage, we have something called a text widget where you can put notes right in the report. I always spend time to update that, because if you don't update it, it's very hard for that person to know like what's good or bad. And honestly, think of like yourself, if you're running an ad test or you do all this work to figure out, like, on Quora we were trying to achieve this, and now like 2 weeks go by and you don't even remember exactly the details of what you set up. So I always do a little text widget that says, here's the context. We're running Quora to drive this. We measure it with that. Historically, we perform at this. This is a holiday weekend. We're expecting to see it go down. Turns out it did. We have an ad test coming up next week. The baseline is this. And honestly, doing that will even help you as a marketer wrap your head around, why am I doing this report? Because the report is supposed to tell a story. It's supposed to answer questions. It's not just supposed to show data that doesn't mean anything to anyone. So there's my tips. There's my tips for building a good report, marketers.
No, those are all really good tips. One thing, too, I wanted to follow up with you on for that one was the right type of charts to tell the right type of story. So, you know, there's bar graphs, line charts, columns, pies. How do you pick the right one? Do you have like a methodology or like a best practice around that?
Yeah, I always go back to build a report for yourself to make sure you're telling yourself, like, you're getting the data you need to make decisions. If you do that first, then you can take and say, all right, obviously my client's not going to maybe be in the weeds at the same level I am, but A, they should know that you're in there and you can go deep. I mean, if they read that text widget and they're like, wow, you know, they're really on top of their game, I can just tune out because I know this marketer is looking at the past, predicting things, you know, setting up tests, having expected outcomes, measuring themselves. I'm just going to kind of glance over this and know they're all set. So one, build it so it actually helps you do that thing. And then step back and say, okay, if somebody doesn't understand CTR, if someone, you know, you need really basic stuff, then you need to figure out how to generalize it. And in terms of picking the widgets, it depends. I mean, if you're using the wrong visualization, it's usually pretty obvious because you can't answer the question. There are some weird things people love to do in reports. Like for over time, obviously you could use a line chart or a bar chart. Lines tend to show changes in rates better because, you know, so CTR, CPC, CPM, because those things are calculated. So they kind of make sense looking at them on a line chart versus things like spend, where you spend a certain amount per day. So spend kind of does better as a bar. So just think about, do you want to see the change from day to day because it's a calculated rate, or is the daily value kind of a certain thing that's not going to really relate and be calculated? But that's not the mistake. That's also personal preference. Turning it into an area chart, which is when it's like shaded below, people do that because it looks nice. But using the shading on an area chart, you know, when it's full, is really because you're trying to usually stack and kind of show the total of all the components. Think of it like a pie chart that moves over time. So you want a pie chart to see how the pie is broken up, and you want to see how it moves over time. So do an aggregated area chart. If you're not using an aggregated area chart, or what's called a 100% area chart, when it like forces the value to be 100 and you can see the distribution within that 100% move up and down, if you're not moving those two, you probably shouldn't use the area chart. And at AdSage, we'd let you because people, it looks nicer. Same thing with Data Studio. You don't have to aggregate your area chart, but then you have overlapping shades and people get confused. So that's probably one, that's the one mistake I see people make all the time, is using an area chart when really they just want a line or bar chart.
I make a lot of those mistakes. So good to know. All right.
Well, I will say though, looking nice is important. Again, think of the people you're sending it to. You're trying to show them you know what you're doing, so you want to have something that like really concisely tells them all those points I was mentioning. But it needs to look nice, and people love color and they love visuals. So if you're not putting ads into your reports, like the actual Facebook ads or the Quora ads, put them in the report, because people will just glance through things. If they're readers, they might start to read your text widgets, but everybody looks at the ads. And if you're sending, you know, ads, whether it's screenshots, or we have a little widget called the Ad Creative Widget that generates them and puts some metrics on there. So if you're using that, or just, you know, screenshotting them and sending them, you'll know you get responses. Like, people will ignore that, you know, the CPC spikes and, you know, oh my God, conversions are way up or down. And they'll be like, hey, that Facebook ad, it doesn't look good. You know, people love looking at the ads. So I always put some Ad Creative in your ads to, you know, get some opens. Really do think about, so that's where the area chart just looks nice. And if you think about the report you're sending, if it doesn't look nice, it's less likely to get read.
I don't know how many times I had to go in and try to get screenshots of the ads for the reports. So I'm glad that you guys automate that.
Yeah, well, we saw, you know, we have an image upload widget and we have some text, like a manual data upload widget. So you can put whatever data you want. And what we saw was the image that everybody was putting onto their report was the copy and paste of their ad. And some folks like Facebook make it fairly easy where they have like this nice previewer and you can change like mobile, desktop, Instagram. Most networks don't have that. And a lot of times you're like searching on the web. So we automated it. So you just pick the ad and we go like check with the network and render it. So it was, you know, you weren't alone when you were copying and pasting ads. We saw that was probably like 80% of reports that had image widgets were just copy and paste of the ads themselves.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot of copy paste. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the reasons I like our product so much. I mean, I'm biased because I'm the product guy here, but we really focus on paid marketers. So if you're running paid, we want AdSage to be super easy, super intuitive, do the things that you're really doing in real life. You don't have to do data blending. You don't have to set up data sources. You don't have to do a lot of copy paste. We're trying to make it so it's like the opposite of working with, no offense to analytics teams out there, but it's like you don't have to request anyone build anything because it should be just, oh, you want to see Quora ads? Here you go. Oh, you want to see all your spend from everything you're doing and paid? You should be able to click one button and just see all that data with no work at all. Okay, that's my sales pitch. I shouldn't sell cars either. let me look at your questions. I've been talking a lot. Let me see what else we have on here that would be interesting. Oh, this is my favorite question. It might be controversial. Who is the Mark Zuckerberg of Quora?
What a great question. Thank you for whoever asked that question. But so our CEO is Adam D'Angelo. So he was super early in Facebook. So he was their first CTO at Facebook.
So and he knew the Zuck.
He knew the Zuck. They worked with him. You know, Zuck recruited him and said, hey, like, will you come be our CTO? So he was there until 2009 when he left the company and started Quora.
Interesting. And I don't know, what have you met him? What's he like? Tell us about him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we see him all the time. So we have a cafeteria and he could be right in front of you in line sometimes. So, but he is a technical founder. So what that mean by that is like the dude is super, super smart when it comes to code. And so he's very like linear, analytical code guy, right? So not the charismatic WeWork messiah type of CEO.
Piling on WeWork. They're an easy target.
I know. They're an easy target. I know. But that's him. Yeah. You'll see him. He's, you know, right there a lot in the cafeteria. One with the people.
Right. I get not messiah like. He might be insulted to know.
He has open office hours, so you can book some time even if you want to go and talk to him.
There you go. All right, let him know. I'll be by on Friday at 11. I got some ideas for the UI.
Be prepared. He's got a lot. He will ask a lot of questions.
That's good. That's a sign of a smart person. Ask a lot of questions. Speaking of, someone said, I did a successful test, but how do I scale? And I know this is like a hot topic for you. So this is a layup question.
No, I think, I mean, again, we have this question a lot. And I think if I can get to the root of it. So I've been meeting with a lot of advertisers really trying to understand the root of this question. And I think it's a couple of things. I think one, hey, we're seeing really great results and we want to get more of them. That's great news, right? Like, I like that. The second part to that is I want this to perform at the scale of Google and Facebook. And we're just not there. And so the first part, I'm glad you're seeing great performance. Second part, you can't approach Quora thinking that we're just like Facebook, we're just like Google, because we're just not. We really are more of a like complement into your evergreen strategy, right? We're just at a different user base that we're getting. We have a lot of advertisers coming to us saying, you're bringing in a lot of net new. And so we actually are trying to work on some incrementality testing as well. So when you're running your Quora ads test, go look at your percentage of new visits coming. So I think that's one thing to look at when you're thinking about scale. The second part is you're probably gonna have to move up funnel. So if you're already seeing really great results, now you're trying to scale, it's because you're doing a great job of probably capturing demand, and now you're going to have to go and start generating demand, moving up into higher funnel type of audiences. And we've seen all of us do this with Facebook. You know, we all start running video ads campaigns, and then we start retargeting based off video engagement. Or we start doing YouTube ads, you know, we start creating funnels. So I think if you're looking for scale, you're gonna have to move up funnel, and you're gonna have to start creating funnel, or move up the funnel, so higher awareness. I know that makes some performance marketers really antsy, but I think the second part is you're gonna have to start creating funnels and start doing some retargeting, which we now have. You can do question retargeting and keyword retargeting within Quora.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you have a pixel, but obviously with all this chat about conversion and look-back windows and now retargeting, obviously you guys have had a pixel out for a while. And is it does it have all like the stuff we want? Like, does it have event? I forget what it's called right now. Like,
yeah, we have nine events. Nine events. You can set it all up through Google Tag Manager as well. We also work with Segment, and then you can also do it manually. So depending on your preference, if you don't have Google Tag Manager, but if you have Tag Manager, you can set all this up in like 5 minutes. So if you're savvy, you're probably even quicker. But
right. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of hate Google Tag Manager.
Oh, really? Whoa, hot take.
Yeah. Can we? I mean, yeah. Side note, 30 seconds or less. So when it first came out, it was like, this is great because I don't have to go like ask an engineer to put a pixel on the all that stuff. So that was great. But if you use it, it's like this, like, oh, you're working on version this, and then you like deploy and then like you update the. It's very confusing. As a marketer, it's like not built for me. Maybe because it's not. Maybe it really is built for the engineer that used to get all the requests, so he can set up his contain, you know, the container tag and just implement that. But I thought it's like, and then turn it over to the marketer. And I know a lot of marketers that know their way around GTM, you know, Google Tag Manager, and they're fine. But personally, every time I have to go in there, it's just, I feel like I'm confused and I have to relearn it. Hot take. What else? Do I have any other good questions? Budgets. If I was going to budget Quora in my social stack, how much money do I need to give you to get something meaty out of it?
Yeah, this is always a good question, and something, here's what I would make my recommendation based off. I always think that we should have like a 10% new budget, a 10% test budget. I've talked to some advertisers, again, that are testing with Quora, and some of them do it this way, and I'll just kind of give you what they're doing. Some do a 10% of their total media, right? If you're spending $100K, 10% of that is testing on like a new platform. Some test a new platform every quarter. If they like performance, they keep it as part of Evergreen Always On. If they didn't like performance, they will, you know, either make some changes and maybe keep it on, and then, or they'll turn it off, right? So I do like that idea as well, because a lot of people come into Quora and they're testing for like 2 weeks and it doesn't work and they turn it off. Well, you probably didn't learn enough, or you didn't get enough information, so you really need to leave it on 2 to 3 months just to understand. So I would recommend a full quarter. As far as budget goes, I wrote a blog post, and we'll put it in the show notes, but here's, I'm going to try to do this really quickly. All right. So set up a campaign. So you can go Quora.com/business. You can create an ad account. It's free. No credit card required. Create your campaign, go into your ad set, put in your audience targeting of what you would like to do. We're going to spit out estimated weekly impressions. Will also give you a suggested bid based off of the high and the low range of advertisers. So we actually expose the full auction. You will see what the top end and the low end, and our suggested bid is always the middle. So now you have impressions, now you have a CPC, and now I will give you the CTR. So for image ads right now, the average across the US is about 1%. So take in that 1%, and now you have clicks. Now go to your landing page, understand your, you know, do the back end math, and now you can kind of figure out what is my landing page conversion rate. It's 5%. So now I know clicks, I know impressions, I know CTR, and now you can start backing it out and say, I can get this and this. And you can create a budget that way.
Huh. And if you want to use conversion tracking, you get 25 conversions a week. See what it takes to get 25 conversions a week with 5% conversion rate on your landing page and a 1% CTR on Quora, and then see what that budget is. That's a really smart, I think it's called a reverse ROI calculation. Start with the end and basically work your way back up.
Yeah, so within all those calculations, you know, you should spit out like a cost per lead. If you think that cost per lead is competitive, then, you know, get started with, you know, that budget, right? And so that's what I recommend. And then you'll probably, just so you know, Paul just said conversion, you'll probably have to start with traffic. So traffic will be like a CPC bid. Once you get those conversions going, then you can switch that campaign to conversion and do a CPA bid. So just
So you switch it. Because sometimes with newer networks, you're like locked in, right? You pick an objective, you pick a bid type, and they're like, you can't change anything.
Oh,
but
yes, that is true for Quora as well. You will have to create another campaign.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
But so learn with the first campaign, establish your CTR conversion rates, et cetera, and then figure out, okay, I want to optimize for conversions. You can do a conversion optimized.
That's correct.
Objective based campaign. Awesome. I'll answer one more question about benchmarks because
really
I want to. So someone was asking about including benchmark data. Should I include benchmark data in my reporting? You know, benchmark data is tricky. So this is what I say. I don't trust benchmark data as an executive looking at my marketing reports because I don't really understand how similar I am to the benchmark. You know, we're in a very specific niche in a certain area, you know, with a certain product. So I'm not a huge fan of benchmarks because that reason one. And then number two, marketers have this tendency to only show me benchmarks when I'm beating them. So if I'm losing to the benchmark, there's no benchmarks on the report. If we're destroying the benchmark, suddenly there's all this industry average is, you know, $1 CPC and you're at 50 cents. So it's kind of like when we always make fun of case studies or announcements from Google and they have a new product and ROI is up 3,000%. And, you know, every single new product launch is accompanied with a 300% increase to metric X. That's kind of how I feel about benchmarks in reports. I always say use your own. That's why the trend data is so important. Like, take a look at 2 years of historical data and see if there's like a really clear trend, and then point out the thing you did to try to change that trend because you wrote new ads or you tested a new landing page or you ran a new channel, and then put it in that context and report on that. That's far more useful to me than knowing, you know, your CPC is 50% better than some industry average. Of course, I say all that. AdSage does put out a benchmark report because no matter what I say, people love looking at that benchmark data. So that they can weave it into the narrative, perhaps, or just the one thing benchmarks do let you do, for real, is see general trends over time. So if CPCs dropped for 3 quarters in a row on LinkedIn, don't be surprised if your CPCs dropped. Now, as an agency reporting your client, you're probably not going to be like, hey, actually, everybody's CPCs are down. It wasn't me. But again,
definitely a good point.
Yeah, like using it with clients. As a client, I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm only going to see these benchmarks when you're beating them and not when CPCs went down for everyone and all you did was perform at average with the network. But
and it's good. I like them for directional data, right? Like I think we all know, I mean, Facebook's getting more expensive and these benchmarks really help us understand where it's getting more expensive. I like that. Plug in again the AdStage benchmark report. You guys break up feed and Instagram, so it's kind of good to understand, okay, is it the Facebook feed? Like, where's Instagram? Like, how do stories compare? And so I can really kind of understand directionally, you know, where CPM's going. And that's one that I kind of like. Or, you know, where's the CTR? How does mine compare? So that part I do like. But I agree with you. I do take them with a grain of salt because I don't know every single AdStage customer, right? And what is their mix and how much are they spending and, you know, all those things.
Which we do plan on, we hired some folks who like know statistics really well and they've got all kinds of ideas for next quarter. This quarter, like every time we put it out, we add more granularity. So also we have more and more data to look at. I forget how many billions of dollars, I think 2 billion in spend we look at. But I think this time we're doing like Facebook objective, maybe by LinkedIn placement. So we're trying to break it down into smaller and smaller groups. So, you know, if you are running LinkedIn InMail, our goal is to be able to say, hey, at least this is what InMail is doing. You know, maybe you're in B2B versus B2C. So that's the next step, is can we categorize it and give people categories? But we, of course, need to like protect the anonymity of our clients as well. So if the data sets are too small, we don't expose anything. So there's a lot of folks working on that and talking to data people and lawyers about, you know. But anyway, if you want it, by the way, well, I guess we'll plug our stuff at the end. There was one more question I wanted to talk to, and then I think that's everything I have worth sharing. I just have to find it. Automation. So people were saying, you know, should I automate the reports, or, you know, or should I take time to like do them, you know, manually and write a nice little message? Obviously, automate the parts that you can automate. I do think putting notes or sending as part of the email, sending some analysis is super important. But that kind of goes without saying. If you want to stand out, what I'd say is automate the thing. Like, everybody needs a monthly report that's got all the data in it. You know, set that all up, automate it, and say something like, here's the overview for the month. But then also do reports and schedule them, or, you know, set up dashboards and send links for the specific projects you're running. And I think that really impresses folks. So if you're doing a test of Quora, don't just send the monthly report that now has like one widget that's like, here's what Quora did. Add Quora into all your data so that they see the monthly overview. Then also create a second report called, you know, trying Quora in Q4, and write the little blurb about how you're setting up the Quora campaigns, and here's the strategy, and here's what you expect to see. And if you're not sure, write, hey, we're not sure what it's going to look like, but, and, you know, keep a little living history of that. If you do that, and then automate that to go out every month, and then every time you have a second and you hop into Quora and you play around and you make changes or you look at results, jot down some notes on that dashboard, and then when it goes out in the month, it will have those updates in it, you will look like a superstar, because your client will be like, wow, not only did they do this test that we talked about, but I could see what they're doing, I can see their thoughts, I get updated on it. And then after the 3 months go by, you have this like living history of the changes you made. I mean, the summary of the changes you made, what you've learned, and it will help you, I guarantee. When you forget how you set everything up in Quora because you're busy, you know, setting up a podcast ad, and you go back and you read your own dashboard, you'll be like, oh, this makes so much more sense. So I, at this point, we have like 6 or 7 automated dashboards that we use. I mean, we did a mobile versus desktop thing. We built a dashboard that goes out every week, and we actually send it to our Slack channel. So in the mobile onboard project Slack channel, I think it's actually daily, because we were very excited. And honestly, every few days, we're checking it to see like, oh, did these changes have the impact we want? And it was a really great example of how to like execute a marketing project really well. So I just wanted to bring that up.
I want to add to this one. So once you get it automated, so this is going back to agency world, I think it's really important to check in with your client, check in with your boss quarterly, you know, and say, does this still make sense? Like, meaning, are these the right metrics? Are you even looking at these? And then like refresh that. But I think it's important to be consistent in what you're presenting month over month, so they get used to seeing the same things, and then check in and say, because what we found was like half of the stuff, they're like, no, I don't even look at that. I don't really want to see that. Can we just focus here? And that made my life a lot easier. So that's my little tip as far as communicating the second half. So automate it, get it all in there, write in your insights, but then just do that quick check-in.
Yeah, I remember some of your very large clients when you were back in Hennepin. And that's why I do think like having that automated monthly, here's the report that you're making me do, and I'll do it, and I'll make it as high value as I can. And then also these little, very specific ones. Obviously, yeah, then that's a great point. Check in and be like, hey, I set up this mobile versus desktop dashboard to measure the progress on this project. Is that helpful? And then there's a trick, because people are nice. So everyone's going to say yes. Not everyone. Most people will be like, oh, yeah, it's great. In the notes, ask some questions. That's how you could tell if they're really reading it. You know, in the Quora tests, you know, quarterly exploration dashboard, write something that they have to answer. Like, oh, we set up an ad with X, Y, and Z. Not sure if you know, we should go with this creative or that creative, we're using this, but curious to get your thoughts. Do you think this is a good direction? And the marketer or the, you know, the in-house marketing teams you're working for, or if you're an in-house marketer and it's your boss, you know, you'll find out pretty quick, like, are they actually reading this stuff? And if not, then obviously don't do it. Then just turn it into bullet points for yourself. I still think keeping a running notes on the dashboard is huge as a marketer. But then, you know, I just do bullet points, like change budget X to Y, tried this, added 3 new ads, you know, add a time series to be like, you know, paused this campaign. That type of stuff. But yeah, but people are too nice. They'll always be like, oh yeah, oh, I read it.
People don't want to, you know, ruffle feathers, Paul. Everyone wants to be agreeable.
I know. I just love how there's like so many of our clients are like, well, I need to send every campaign spend every day to like this customer because there's like somebody in the accounting department or legal is like, we need this. And then they're like, you know, we send it to them, they send it to someone else. But anyway, I think those are all the questions that we have. Is there anything about Cora that you want to plug? What? How about plug something?
Can we plug something? How about I just do like some reveals? So we've got Legion ads in beta. Very exciting. I mentioned conversion, custom attribution windows in beta. So I think those are probably the two big ones to look out for in the next quarter. But then in 2020, the roadmap is looking pretty strong. So definitely stay tuned for that.
And I'll stay to your theme. So at Stage, we will be dropping Automate for Cora. So soon you'll be able to run alerts. Yeah, and see if you're running that test and you want to see if CTR rate is at that 1%. And if it hits that 1%, you want an alert in your email or any of the metrics you can get on Cora, you can set up alerts for. And if you want to be in the beta, just Paul at AdStage, just give me an email and we'll add you to the beta. And then pacing widget. So we have a widget that lets you like say, hey, I'm trying to spend $1,000, and it tracks how you're doing to $1,000, but doesn't understand the time frame. So it doesn't know if you're trying to spend it in a month or a week or a quarter. Well, this is like the most requested feature for the last 2 years. We turned what we call the progress widget into a pacing widget. You can put the month in there, and we understand that you're 80% through the month. You should be 80% through your budget. You can put, you know, other key metrics like conversions or clicks in there if you have targets for those, and see side by side, you know, I'm at 100% on target for my budget, and I'm at 120% of my conversion goal. So we have a whole bunch of these fancy widgets, and we do even have one that has a forecast built in. So it will show you if you don't change anything and things keep going like they're going, you can follow the dotted line and see how much you'll end up spending this month. So that is also available in beta. So same email if you want to be in the pacing beta. Sweet. All right. Well, I think that's all we have today. That was fun. If you have questions, you can always tweet at JD and I. Or you can email, like I said, I'm Paul at AdStage. What's your email at Cora?
Jay Prater. So JPRATER at Cora.com. I wanted to get JD at Cora, but they wouldn't let me.
You know, big company politics, man.
I know,
big
man, company I tried. Politics. I know. You can always tell those early employees all got their names. But I was like, right. Come on, there's no JD. Why? Like, come on, hook it up.
Yeah, so that's when I came to AdStage, we were, I think, 12 people, and I was the first Paul. The problem is if you're not the first, then you can't get it, and then, you know, then you have to really, like, maneuver to be like, hey, I know there's somebody else here. We have an Andrew who's our second Andrew, and he's like, at what point can we just delete the old Andrew, and then I can have the Andrew? But, great, well, if you have any other questions, you know where to reach us, and go forth and test your Cora and report on it with AdStage.
Thanks, guys.